Off the ball. Rugby.
We are such a minor sport here. We are competing against these giants. And the only thing we've got is the Wallabies. Because rugby league and AFL, they don't have someone wearing a gold jersey all the time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The League of Ireland Pod.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
All right, you're welcome along. It is the League of Ireland Pod. Nathan with you this week. Gareth McGlynn is with us. How are you, Gareth?
Very sad, Nathan. We're out of the cup.
Well, are we going to if we're to start every show with Derry sadness, none of us to get out of bed in the morning, Gareth. And Vinny Perth, what's making you sad these days, Vinny?
Not a lot. You're back. You've taken a good couple of months off there, did you?
Well, I'm sort of like the, you know, League of Ireland summer break. You never know I'm on or when I'm off or anything like that. But I'm very much back. Back now. Tomorrow night, Vinny, we're going to be down at Talca Park.
Yep.
Big, what, 8 days coming up for the League of Ireland, potentially of two teams qualifying for the Conference League. So we're going to full live commentary tomorrow night on News Talk of Shelburne against Linfield, yet again, in the Conference League playoff, the first leg. And then Friday night, we're going to be at Dalymount Park because we're going to have full commentary of Bohemians against Cork City in the SSE Electricity League of Ireland Premier Division. Jonathan Higgins is going to be joined by Keith Long for that one. And that one is going to be live on News Talk as well. So we got a lot coming up over the next while. It does feel like we haven't seen each other in quite a while. And clearly, Gareth, your mood around Derry City hasn't improved.
No, not good. Not a good result. I tell you, if you watched the cup final last year and then you watched that game afterwards, there was very little in it for the first hour. It was the same game. You had a young, hungrier team that wanted to win the game far more, and that was Drogheda. And I have to say, I mean, over the course of the game, I felt that they deserved the victory. They deserved to go through. They were the better team. They had the better players. Individually, their players performed better. And as a team, their players performed better. But it's hard to pick. It's hard to pick any positives from Derry apart from Michael Duffy, as usual.
Well, they have this continuous problem. It feels rolling on for seasons now that the games that matter they can't win.
Yeah.
And they're flat, almost similar to what Alan Reynolds was saying about Bowes just not turning up for their game. That like even I saw Derry down in Tala, and we were talking about this a few weeks ago. Like the first half, I thought they were brilliant. Really good. As good as I've seen him play in a long, long time. And the new signings look very impressive. You know, at least they'll lose the game.
But it's a thing, Nathan, I think. See, when the pressure's not on Derry, they just turn up and they've nothing to play and no pressure on their shoulders. See, when they turn up and the onus is on them, like in Cork in the league match when they drew 0-0, no passion, no intensity, no tempo, especially in the first half. I touched on it in Tiernan before the game, I asked him the question. I said, surely you got to start this game fast, considering when Derry City go in front at halftime in the Brandywell, they generally don't lose. And he was kind of, he gave me like a wishy-washy answer of, oh, we got to make sure we don't go gung-ho. You're at home against the FA Cup holders, who, by the way, have turned up and are playing two up front. They played two up front and Derry couldn't play two up front. And they played five at the back, basically. So it was just not good for 60 minutes. It was awful, in fact. And then when he made the quadruple changes after an hour, it turned into a real cup game and it was brilliant after that. But it was little too late.
And a question for you, Gareth. Like this, the rhetoric has come around over the last few days that Derry haven't done this and they don't seem to be up for games over the last couple of years. Is that a bit of an out for the current manager? Because, I mean, the ins and outs of that club this year, the ins and outs, even in the starting 11, there's no way you can find a rhythm as a player, as a team. There's people being, you're nearly tuning in, or when you turn up to watch Derry, they're not sure who's going to start for them. And that can be okay with two or three players, but not four or five. And it's that, like the recruitment there, someone has to answer questions.
Yeah. And as a fan said to me, he says, I turn up on a Friday to get some anger out of me and I'm shouting at players and I don't even know their name. I don't even know who I'm shouting at. So I'll give you an example, right? I went back and looked at what made Derry so good. Remember they went five games, five ones and a draw in six games, and they were flying, they were sitting second, and there was a real rhythm about them, and they were playing the same players in the same position. Since then, they've changed four out of the back five. And I put myself as a player into that changing room, right? If I'm a player in the changing room, I'm busting a gut, right? And I'm training and playing every week. And a new player comes in the door and he goes straight into the team in front of me and I haven't done anything wrong. That's soul destroying. And the other way as well, the best managers, and I'd like to get Vinny's take on this, the best managers bring people in, but they're loyal to the players who are there and they give them a chance to either mess up, get injured, or and then the other person gets a chance. And it's just not happening. Players are just getting dropped for the sake of it. And then as you saw the other night when the four players came on, it changed the game and they were much, much better. So it must be soul-destroying for the players and the fans as well, because there's no continuity, no consistency. But you can't have that if you keep changing. I mean, there's 14 players came in since the start of the season. That's a huge... And it didn't need open-heart surgery. The squad didn't need that amount of turnover. But it's this feeling that the manager had that it wasn't his team. To me, the best managers come in and they make the best of what they've got and they sprinkle three or four on top of that, not 14.
You know what, Ed? I think that's the nail on the head, because for me, I've seen a lot of Derry last year live as well. And what was interesting is they probably should have won the league. I think ultimately Higgins will know that and it'll probably be one of his regrets for a long, long time. And myself and Garrett be close to Higgins, right? So we find it probably difficult to be critical of him. But he ultimately failed, because I think the league was there could be won by somebody. Jaborn ultimately took that prize. But there wasn't a lot of fixing needed in that club. I don't buy into that rhetoric of, oh, it's Derry and the weak tank it over the line, et cetera, et cetera. It needed a couple of small tweaks, a slight change of sort of how they played. So a little more speed and power, as in getting forward, a little bit more aggression. You were a little bit too slow at time and passive under Higgins. That's the way he likes the game played. But small minor tweaks that one or two players could have done. But I'm not sure what we're getting from Derry in terms of this week. They're very good. This week they're playing with three. They've tried three and four different shapes. Like, ultimately, the key to this is the best winger in the last 10 years is playing for Derry. And he hasn't played in the wing in a long, long time. And one of the sort of reasons that the manager's given is teams double up against him. Well, great. Because that means the space elsewhere, whether that's a fullback or somewhere else. The shape is wrong for the players they have, and it just doesn't make lots of sense what they're doing.
Just on that, Vinny, that's an interesting one what you're saying, right? There's no doubt about it, Michael Duffy's the best player, right? We all know that, and we've seen the accounts coming out there online, right? There's a huge amount of investment in the club, right? If I were to say to you to look at that squad, and you've seen the bench the other night as well, and even the boys that are injured are not on the squad, there's not many exciting wingers or talented fast players and create a goal. There's none of that. Where Derry, historically, even before my time, they always had brilliant wingers and really pacey players who could take people on, go pass bell, put it in the net. If you think about Kevin Mahan back in the day, you've got Paddy McCord, James McLean, Niall McGinn, all these players. All the investment has gone on the defenders. It's got so many centre-halves, so many wing-backs. It's incredibly leveraged at the back. There's very few. Gavin White has been inconsistent and inconsistent. But
hold on. I don't know Gavin White. Never met the lad. How can you say he's being inconsistent? What's his best position, Garrett?
He's a winger.
Yeah. So you've got Gavin White and you've got Michael Duffy. I'm scared of living daisies out of me if I took any team to Derry if they were playing as out and out wingers. They're not. They're playing narrow in midfield or as in a box midfield. It's overcomplicated the game. Get the two of them high and wide. Even if you wanted to compromise on having a voice in the 10 with a centre forward, they've ripped up the script. I mean, they're still second or third or fourth, whatever it'll be over the next few weeks. But they had a good enough squad to go and win or push Rovers, and they haven't done that.
Well, I disagree. They don't have a good enough squad. You know yourself, when you're a manager, you need four good wingers or four good attacking players. They've got two. They haven't recruited well enough in the final third. They haven't got enough good attacking.
Well, last year, Mullen and Mark Mullen done quite well for them in wide areas at different stages. They needed a couple of probably fullbacks to support what they had ahead of them. They're quite good in midfield. They bought Benson as an extra one in number 10. Did Hoobin, did Boyce. They've had decent players. Probably around the back four, it's probably where they needed for Hoobin. But they've actually changed the whole shape and the way they're playing.
But they've got... They've got rid of Hooban, McMullen, they've got rid of Dom Thomas, they've got rid of all the talented attack players. And then they can't understand why they can't score against Cork or can't get a goal against Drogheda.
But who's making these decisions? Because I was listening to Patrick Hooban on with Johnny and Dan, and obviously he's very frustrated with how it all developed and almost the stalling of his career and the lack of opportunity, and they wanted him and then they didn't want him and he ends up staying, and it's clearly, you know, his face doesn't fit. Who's making the decision that there's this constant turnover and this confusion as to, you know, what the best 11 is, what the squad is, what positions need strengthening? Because obviously they've gone again in the last few weeks, and Akinyemi looks like there's something about him up front, but also looks like he's playing in the role that Pat Hooban probably could have played for the first half of the season.
And that's a great question, right, Nathan? And I'm going to give you the answer, right? It's the manager. I'm not going to throw the manager on the bus. This is a club problem, right? So what happens when a manager is appointed at Derry City? He has got complete control of everything. There's very little governance. So there's no foundation, there's no blueprint for them to work off. There's no governance turnaround saying, right, you got to have at least four under 23s, under 25s in the squad. It's a case of, here's the war chest, away you go. I don't care how you play, get me European football as a minimum and get me a league title is what we're aiming for. So to me, I would never blame Tiernan for this, because at the end of the day, he's been given the money and he's spending it as he sees. There's no consultation. There's no director of football. There's no football person within the C-suite of Derry. And there's very little of that as well. There's nobody off the field. That's the biggest problem.
But Nathan, think about your question. Akinyemi is a perfect. I don't mind the manager signing him. But he's going to be ready come the end of the season, not the start of the season, mid-season. He's going to be ready.
That again, and as you know, I never leave Tala, so everything is judged on what I see there. But like Stott and Akinyemi were their two best players for an hour,
yes.
But neither of them were fit enough to continue after the hour.
Exactly. So if he did, and obviously that player wasn't available at the start of the season, and going back to, not to defend Hoban or anything like that, Pat's big and ugly enough, and he does it quite well to defend himself. Get rid of Hoban at the start of the season if he's not your centre forward, and bring in your centre forward. But bringing someone in mid season who's not fit and isn't match fit means by the time he's ready, it will be a game or two left in the end of the season. So, what are you trying to do? It's like throwing darts and hoping you hit a treble 20 eventually. So, the recruitment and the way they've gone about it, letting lads go, bringing lads in.
But did we not think that they signed well? I know, Gareth, you've been consistent throughout the season that you were worried about the turnover in players and have had a long-term concern about the lack of development of academy players and, you know, for such a great footballing city, like, where are the great young talents around this squad? They're just not there at the moment. But, you know, Shane Ferguson, Gavin White, Liam Boyce, Northern Ireland internationals, a real sense that they wanted to come back home, they want to come back to this part of the world. They weren't just at the end of their career and looking for a nice, handy little payday. But, like, they're like Shane Ferguson feels. Like, what is Shane Ferguson doing at Derry right now?
Well, Shane Ferguson is currently fourth in line at left wing back. So that tells you where he's in the pecking order and how much he's going to play for that now. And I'm sure he's earning a good number, which I don't hold that against him. But that's where you're at. And he's like, I didn't think he needed a left wing back. And then he signed Fleming, who, by the way, looks like a good player. But it's this constant left wing back, centre half. They're completely over leveraged at the back. They've no attacking talent. And historically, Derry fans have been loving getting off their seat and have something to shout about. He was talking before the Drogheda match. He was saying, yeah, we've got to get the fans off their seat. The way they play and the players they've got playing, they're not doing that. So it will not happen. So there's a massive problem. And historically, Tiernan Lynch's Larne team did the same thing. It took him a long time and he went through a lot of players before he got it right. And it's just a question, will he be given that time at Derry?
Well, the difference is, Gareth, two things. One is the challenge in this league is a lot tougher than the challenge he faced up in the league Larne ultimately went on to win. To be fair, the other thing is, Nathan, it's okay to get the odd player wrong, like Ferguson. That can happen. The problem is you've got so many wrong, and there's no rhythm, there's no way of playing for the team. You can all change. You can go from a 3-5-2 to a 4-3-3. That's fine at different stages, but there is absolutely a lack of consistency about who's playing, how they're playing, and that creates all sorts of uncertainties. Paul's not sure exactly where. There was an old saying back when we played 4-4-2. Yes, it was a long time ago. We'll get your little partnerships going, your two in midfield, your right winger, your right back, all of them. It sounds like nonsense, your 10 and your 9 working together. But how can you do that with Derry? How can you say Gavin White is inconsistent? He's inconsistent because he's in and out of the team. He's playing narrow in midfield. He actually played in a 10 in the game against Bowes earlier in the season. I was going, What are they doing? They're just funny, making it
funny. Michael Duffy's been playing in a 10. He's been doing all right. Like,
of course he has. Yeah, but that's because he's an exceptional footballer.
And he's Gavin White.
Yeah, but Michael can do more in his natural position. He can absolutely do more than he's currently doing. He's coming in our games and he's got moments of brilliance, absolutely. But Derry, it's not the Michael show. It's about getting the best team on the pitch that ultimately wins games of football. Doesn't pass up what they're doing because they haven't improved on when they finished last season. Absolutely haven't. They've gone backwards.
Yeah.
The league table might say they're a couple of wins away from this and that. But
are we blinded, Gareth? Are we blinded by the money when it comes to our analysis of Derry? Like, you know, the history isn't there of them winning league titles on a consistent basis, but we're sort of talking about them in recent years as they should be there. They should be the team winning the title because of the investment, because of the wealth of the owner. But like, there's a limited playing pool that you can go and sign. They obviously decided to go a certain route with, you know, those Northern Ireland internationals, hoping they'd bring them a huge level of experience into the team. What is the vibe in Derry in terms of, like, again, they're competing for Europe. They're one of the top three or four teams in the league. Is the money sort of influencing the expectation to an unreal extent?
Absolutely it is, Nathan. I mean, if I asked you the question, where does Derry finish in the accolades for League of Ireland? They're seventh. So that's what you talk about, league titles and cups and success. They're only seventh. So to be talking to them at league champions, it is the money. And that's just the reality of it. And listen, the money compared to when we were playing has gone way up, and it has everywhere as well. They're now competing. They've probably got the second biggest budget, maybe the third. So the money that they're throwing out, as you see, trying to attract players from Dublin is very difficult. So you've got to get creative, but you've also got to produce local players to complement that. And you've got to have a relationship between the players and the fans, and it's just not there right now. Now, maybe Tiernan will turn it round. Maybe he will get a lot of local players back. And again, Higgins did it really well when he brought Patrick and Michael back. When he brought those two back, that gave the whole town a big lift. Tiernan has to find some sort of recipe like that to get the fans back enjoying it, because it wasn't good. The crowd wasn't good that the other night, and it wasn't good against Cork, and they weren't happy against Cork as well. So what's the solution? I don't know, but I think there's got to be a level of performance and a level of excitement that I don't see in this Derry City team.
All right. Well, Derry obviously out of the cup. Bowls are out of the cup. The quarterfinal draw. Kerry in the FAI Cup quarterfinal are going to play Sligo Rovers. Drogheda United, the holders, up against Shamrock Rovers. Finn Harps against Cork City. And Pats up against Galway United. So no question that Drogheda United, Shamrock Rovers is going to be the standout fixture there. And I think Stephen Bradley has been, you know, fairly vocal that a double is certainly something that they would like to achieve. They may have other priorities by the time the quarterfinals come around, if the next couple of weeks were to go their way. It's a fairly attractive draw, I think, though, if you're a Sligo Rovers or a Cork City fan, Vinny.
Yeah, I think so. I think both of them, like Cork, in fairness, over the last couple of weeks have seemed to have got their act together. It probably feels like it's too late for in terms of a league run. Sligo have been very, very good of late. Again, really good recruitment. John Russell has got all the plaudits over the last few weeks, deservedly so. When you look at the draw, I think it's a good draw for St. Pat's as well. Caulfield will obviously go for that one a little bit more because it's Kenny, but it's a really interesting draw. It sort of feels like if you were to guess now, Rovers Pats final could be on, you know, that way that would be huge in terms of League of Ireland. But look, it could go the other way. You feel part of you would love to see Drogheda win the cup again and actually qualify back into Europe. That way it would be lovely to see. The romantic in you. Do you also wouldn't begrudge Sligo getting to a cup final either. So the cup final, I mean, I'm lucky enough to win the cup final or to win a cup. And sometimes the draw can be so favourable to you. Like, you play a first division team in a semi-final one year and people don't remember that. You just remember the final, and ultimately that's what happened. So a little bit of luck and you could see a Sligo or Cork in the final, which would be great to see. Well, it was an interesting weekend. I was at Pats and Shelbourne, and that was really interesting. It was actually quite a good game, albeit Shelbourne got the best. So it seemed to mean a lot to Pats. I think they're very aware that the Cup is a real opportunity to go back into Europe. It was probably the first time in a long time I've seen Stephen really celebrate with the Pats fans. You know, he was right in the middle of them. He's giving it his old fist pump. So we haven't seen that in a while. So they're really going after this cup.
They're 6 points behind Derry in third. Pats are still sixth in the table. So tomorrow night, our live commentary game is going to be at Dalymount Park. Friday night will be Bohemians against bottom of the table Cork City. And as I mentioned earlier, Adam Reynolds was, you know, fairly critical of his side's inability to get up for some of the big games, and it feels this has been something he's spoken about quite a few times this season. What do you put that down to? Are Bowes just not at that level yet where they have the quality to put in those level of consistent performances, or are there questions about some of the key men, Devoy, Tierney, who, you know, really probably weren't at their best last Friday night? Take it on, whichever one of you want.
Well, I mean, you talk about quality. Bowes have got quality in abundance, so I can't see it being that problem. I think they've got a couple of positions they're just unsure of what their best team is. But again, it comes back to similar, the teams that got knocked out at the weekend. If you can't get yourself up for an FAA Cup last 16 game, it's just, you may forget about it. Honest to God, it's the biggest and the best day of the year, and we all love it. And he's taken on an extra step now because it's in the Aviva. If you don't want to play in the Aviva, now almost a full Aviva, then you need your head checked. So to not be able to get up for that. And I think we have to give Sligo credit as well. I mean, you can be critical of Bowes, and the same way with Derry and Drogheda. Drogheda were absolutely excellent, and I watched the game as well. Sligo were outstanding from start to finish. They were absolutely brilliant. Every player is playing out of their skin right now. I always talk about you need at least 6 or 7 players to 8 or 9 out of 10. And Sligo at the minute, and it's week and week, and it's fair play to Russell to be able to get his players to come back to the well every week with the same players, mind you, as well. There's no tinkering with his teams. He's got a solid team now. We said he needed to address the centre midfield. Kieran Harkin, who was let go by Derry, or sorry, he's on loan at Sligo now, he was absolutely exceptional. He was one of the best players in the pitch. He's gone in there now, hasn't complained, got on with it, and he's been very good. So Sligo were fully deserved of the one. Yes, Bowes were under par, but that's the reality of the league right now. It doesn't matter who you're playing, whether the first division, especially in the cup, if you're under par, you're going to get knocked out.
Yeah, the common trend we've seen, Shelbourne done it as well in terms of Shelbourne's obviously had one eye on Thursday night, made some changes and ultimately weren't able to reach the levels they've been hitting over the last couple of weeks. I mean, you look at Bowes on Friday night, I mean, I'm sure the manager had to pick the team again. He'd pick a different team because he made some changes and it just didn't work, and they were a little bit flat all over the pitch. And it is one of them. I think Bowes are full of really talented footballers. I think on paper, they're probably the second best squad in the league in many ways, particularly with the attacking threat they have. But it's almost like, I remember questioning someone like, say, Ross Tierney and getting a bit of criticism over. I wasn't questioning his ability. If I was lucky enough to take over a league club anytime soon, I try and sign Ross Tierney. I think he's one of the best players in the league. But how many of the players are getting sort of 8, 9, 10, 11 goals from that midfield are so dominated there? They've signed Taylor from Drogheda and he's still on 3 goals after 18 games. He was disappointing the other night. So he's got to get goals for them soon. Rooney's got to add a few more goals. Tierney, as I said, Clark, they've got to get some more goals into the team. And some of that is down to individual players making stuff happen. And some of it is around the makeup of the team in terms of the shape and the system that Reynolds deploys. So ultimately, made some changes, didn't work, and you get punished as a manager, and that's what's happened to Bolsha today. And it's a hammer blow for him because we all feel, yes, there is the financial element of it. They haven't got that sugar daddy that's pumping money in. But they're not stuck for a few quid. They were for a number of years. Don't seem to be now, but they need to start winning the odd trophy here or there or every so often. I think the fans deserve that, and the people probably behind the scenes deserve that as a little bit. So
having been together now and Oasis in the last 2 weeks, all I see everywhere I look in my mind is Bulls jerseys.
Yeah.
Where can I go to get away from the Bulls jerseys? Where's a safe space?
I don't know, because when I was on holiday down in Fort Ventura, the fourth night I was in, two lads sat beside me and they were wearing a Bulls jersey. Like, so it's everywhere and it's great and it's brilliant and you shouldn't be knocked for it or criticised for it. It's just clever. You know, there was a full table of Dundalk fans in the restaurant that night as well, thank God. So there was a bit of balance, but that's... But it is,
which side did the balance go? Which were the Dundalk fans or the Bulls fans happier to see you?
None of them recognised me, so it was Grant. I think, Nathan, with Bulls, if you were neutral, you'd like to see Bulls win something to see what he do as a club next. You know what I mean by that in terms of... I'd like to see Bulls get a run in Europe next year, qualify through the league and have a run in Europe. And are they ready to make the next step and become like, are they going to be a little bit yo-yo where it doesn't work out for this manager the way it did in ultimately Keith's time, if they were struggling a little bit at the end and different bits and pieces. You know, I'd like to see them qualify for Europe this year and see can they kick on as a club. It will be difficult on next year too, as it, when the ground is being redeveloped and they've got to have money in the bank for that to pay some bills. But I'd like to see them qualify for Europe and just to see what's next, what they got up their sleeve.
Was Dawson Devoy's head turned by Stephen Bradley putting him in the top three players in the league alongside Matt Healy and Graham Burke?
Does that qualify as tapping up or...?
No, all of them things. I think he's right up there, to be fair. He's been exceptional as a 6, 8 and 10. I don't know what his best position is. He can play all of them in midfield. But like I say, I think him, Clark, Tierney together is as good as you'll get. Adam McDonald is a different type of player and he's never going to get all the plaudits. But as a 4 with Clark as the false 9, they'll cause any team problems. The biggest problem is none of them are scoring enough goals. Mm. None of them are scoring enough goals. So therefore,
and I think
I'm not saying they're easy to play against, but you know what I mean? It's in front of you a little bit. And if you've got the break pass sequence by somebody running in behind.
And I think the Douglas Taylor, Whelan and the strikers are getting a hard deal. It's up to the midfielders to score goals as well, but the strikers aren't getting enough supply. I mean, the ball's been passed to death around the back, and Derry did a bit of that as well. The strikers are pulling their hair out. They're not getting 3 or 4 chances a game. They might get 1 or 2, and then when they do get that, they have to be clinical. But if they miss that, then they get a bit of stick. But that European spots from 2 to 6 and Pat's Shell's draw to Derry and Bowes. What an exciting run that's going to be.
Well, Garrett, think about this for a second, Nathan. Just for real quickly, think of the players you mentioned, Devoy, Clark, Tierney, Rooney, and Meeksen. Parsons. They've got brilliant options in forward areas. So something's not clicking in terms of getting to end line, creating chances. Don't know what it is. It's hard to put your finger on it. But they have the makings of one of the best attackers. Probably, in one sense, the best I can form. Because Rovers play completely different. That they don't play out in the wingers. Outside of Shamrock Rovers, who else is a better attacking sort of front 5 or 6, 7 than them? Nobody. Nobody.
Do you think they'll qualify for Europe in the top 3?
I don't know. I don't know, because it's so hard to predict. You need to get going again, and it's just they've just come off a little bit. And would it shock you if everything went back to the negative balls in terms of the pressure around the manager, pressure around results? No, but would it shock you if he went and won the next 4 or 5 games either? No, because they've got the players and the staff and people don't know how to do that. So it's
well, tomorrow night, Friday night's a must win. Friday night is a must win. Home against Cork. You want to qualify for Europe. You simply have to win that game. What I loved about Stephen Bradley's comments about the top three players in the league, and he knew what he was doing by including Dawson Devoy, was he spent half of that interview talking about Graham Burke, who he also had in the top three players in the league, as you know, what an incredible technical talent, might end up in Footballer of the Year, doesn't pick him for the game.
I'm telling you now, Nathan, Stephen Bradley doesn't get enough praise for being able to keep all those incredibly talented players happy.
Well, he hasn't kept them happy. He's just fallen out with Jack Byrne.
I know, but throughout the years, I mean, he won 4 out of 5. And even then, there was multiple players and multiple positions that he did. And we'll see now if he can rekindle the Jack Byrne-Stephen Bradley relationship again. I expect him to do that, considering all we've been through. But to be able to keep all them boys happy and not playing every week, it's incredible. And it's an unbelievable skill that he's got. And to me, that's one of the key reasons why he's so successful and continues to be successful. A communication.
The best news of the week, obviously, was, I'm sure everyone's seen the pictures, that Stephen Bradley's son, Josh, has completed his treatment for leukemia, and he got to ring the bell in the hospital and all of that, and the photos are around. So, you know, congratulations to Josh and to Stephen and to Emma. And, you know, I'm sure people have seen the piece we did with them about what they've gone through over the last 3 years. Incredibly difficult to go through that on the personal side of things and still be front and center in such a high profile job. So, yeah, just absolutely brilliant, Vinny.
Yeah, no, huge. And, you got me there because the hair's standing back my neck. Like, I don't know whether I've said it before, but John's Ward, has a special place in my heart. Like, my younger brother spent 2 bouts of leukemia there. It's all at the coming back to me over the last couple of days, and to see Josh come through as well was brilliant. And it's such a special place. We think, you know, people are superstars in terms of whether it's watching Salah or whether someone like Chris Forrester and his magic or Jack Byrne and their magic, but the real stars in our world are down in John's Ward. Touch wood, they've saved Josh's life and he moves on. They saved my brother's life maybe 15, 20 years ago, not once but twice. So I know exactly what that family are going through. So it's so tough. It's ripped through their family. In terms of, I know how my mother and father struggled. My dad wasn't managing a football team, wasn't standing in front of the press every Friday night, wasn't getting a little bit of stick from away supporters, wasn't feeling the pressure of European. So I've always had it. Myself and Stephen went head to head for a couple of years, and we never really had a sort of run in or run out. But my respect for him was always quite high. But after the last few years, it's off the charts now, because to be able to do what he's done under them circumstances, no one will ever know how difficult it is for him. So, and to how difficult it was for his wife and the other kids, because ultimately, they get not left behind, because that sounds wrong, but you get left behind because the whole focus has to go on Josh. So wish the whole family well, and it's just amazing news.
Yeah, hard not looking at the video, Gareth. As you said, we spoke to Stephen and we've spoken to Emma, that their other two kids are there and going through this and suffering through it as well, and just this enormous weight that now is off all of their shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely. Unbelievable. That when you see the video and the piece that you did, it really does. I mean, we've all got kids. I mean, but having to watch your kid and they feel helpless, and all you can do is support them, and it's incredible news. It's brilliant. Really, really delighted for the whole family and Josh, seeing him smile, ring the bell. I mean, every League of Ireland fan, player, manager, they were smiling ear to ear. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And again, it's impossible for people on the outside to understand what they've been going through, but I do remember the day we recorded with Stephen and Emma. They both actually came straight from Crumlin, where they'd spent the previous 3 nights, both of them, because Josh had been in and receiving a bit of treatment. And again, you know, I'd obviously said there was no need to do it, but they were trying to keep as much normality as possible. And the amount of times Stephen had to do that, go straight to a match on a Friday evening and go straight back in afterwards. And again, never use it as an excuse, never talk about it, just get on with his job, take the stick when it came, take the praise when it came. As I say, been able to get in that flight to the Azores and have that weight and have had that moment. And obviously we all wish Josh continued good health. And yeah, hopefully now Shamrock Rovers and Stephen Bradley can get a bit more joy over the coming days as well, because he's probably facing, on the football side of it, Vinny, one of the biggest tests he's faced, because we all sort of felt that Shamrock Rovers, with the experience of last year, had a great chance of getting through the Conference League. It was difficult not going down the Champions route, but as a seeded team, and I'm still sort of undecided as to what awaits them tomorrow night, because they're a Portuguese team, so we expect a really high level of quality, but it's certainly not one of the giants of European football.
No, far from it. And I think this team, through their experience and what they've achieved over the last couple of years, you feel like they've a chance. They have a real chance. It's going to be difficult. And I've started to do some of the homework on them, Nathan. And obviously, the obvious thing to say is...
just to be clear, Vinny, we're not going to the Azores. We're going to be doing Shelburne against Linfield. So I wouldn't go too crazy.
No. Yeah, but next week, we might do them. You know, that way, that's what I was thinking. Because we're always going to get positive results. See, the glass is always half full. And
positivity we love from you.
Right, but what you're looking at is you're looking at a team, a lot of Brazilians and a lot of people have said that, but just not, like, they've got that little bit of pace and I think they'll be tricky in wide areas. Rovers have to play a little bit different away from home than they've done. They can be quite vulnerable up the levels in sort of wide areas, and it's got to come up, and it doesn't always suit Stephen well to do that. He likes to play a certain way. Now, he has adapted a little bit around Europe in terms of playing, whether it was Healy, these type of players in midfield, real running power. I just hope he gets that bit right and they keep the game alive. It's going to be difficult for them. But, you know, it's amazing how much Europe has changed, because you think about it, we've a team in a playoff or a group stage playing a team that's fifth tier in Portuguese football. That's like, and it's a little bit like people have been critical over the sort of Shells and Linfield playing against each other again, that there's a reason UEFA are really helping out smaller nations like yours. They're kicking us out of Champions League football almost, in one sense, because it's not attainable and you don't want us in it. You want all the big clubs, that's fine. But they're giving us a few quid back out the back door a little bit. And this competition, I feel there's an outside chance Rovers get the second team. They've been really unlucky in the draw. That's what can happen, because that's just the way it goes. But they're not favourites by any stretch of the imagination. But a little bit of homework I've done, they've got a chance. But away from home, Captain Obvious here, is crucial that they stay in the game.
Conor Malley's going to miss the game as well, and he's only there a few weeks, Gareth, but it felt as though he was built for these European games. Again, what Vinny spoke about, and, you know, Jack Byrne, even if they hadn't had the route, would he be starting these big European games away from home? Graham Burke, as we see, generally hasn't started them either. It'd probably be a surprise if he starts tomorrow night, whereas Conor Malley has that mix of really nice technical player, but physically able to get around the park. Big, strong lad. And what does he go with then? So is it Healy, Watts?
Nugent
is the one who comes back? Because I was surprised Nugent wasn't starting some of the bigger games in recent weeks.
He hasn't done well in a couple of them. Sorry, quickly, Gary. He hasn't done well in a couple of them. He was very good for them last year at different stages, and so was the boy from Estonia.
Poom
as well. So you think about that style of player, he changed it. Sorry, Gareth, yeah.
Yeah, well, he started away to Balkany, and again, that was not a bad result, 1-0, but he played quite well in that. So I would imagine they'll go with something similar away to Santa Clara, Nugent, Healy and Mandreau and Watts. They all started that match, and they played okay. So I would imagine Nugent will be on there. But again, we talk about it, the riches that he has to play in there. And I think he can do that now. He's got so many available and fit, whereas previous years he's always had bad injuries or long-term injuries or people only coming back from injuries. He's got loads of people now fit and chomping at the bit. And that's, again, internal competition is allowing them to step up. So I'm excited for the tie, and I think they've got a real chance.
Yeah, they just got to stick in it, because their home form has been so good in Europe over the last couple of years. Like, you would take a 1-0 right now to bring back to Tala next Thursday night and probably getting 10,000 people in.
would you take a 2-0 even, Nathan? It wouldn't be the end of the world with Rovers. Mm. It's a big mountain to climb, don't get me wrong. I just feel like 2-0, anything beyond that, it's getting away from me. But you could see this team do something special in Talca.
Yeah. So we're going to be in Talca tomorrow night for Shelburne against Linfield. And I've almost had to reset my brain, Gareth, because when you have a big win like they did against Linfield last time in Windsor Park, and you're talking to Joey O'Brien and you're talking to the players and there's a real jubilation, you sort of go, oh, this is one of the great nights for Shelburne. And they played so well, they were comfortable because Linfield completely ran out of gas after the red card. And this was actually a straightforward win. There was a big gulf between the teams. But then I'm actually thinking, geez, the first 10 or 15 minutes was wide open. They were creating loads of chances. Shelburne were shooting themselves in the foot consistently. Now, they've got better since then, but Linfield, you'd assume, have got better since then as well. And while this is a very favourable draw, do you expect the gap between the two teams to be a lot tighter? And again, I say a lot tighter. It was 2-1 in aggregate when they met earlier. Do you think, actually, that this is a lot more 50-50 than a lot of us are feeling?
It's definitely closer to 50-50 than it was the first time. Just fitness-wise, and even how Linfield are playing now at the minute, they're scoring lots of goals. Young Kieran Offord is scoring rings around him. I mean, he scored a goal at home last week or the week before, and he hit it that hard it nearly bust the net. He's on form. Linfield have got fitter. You've got Chris Shields back there now as well. This is definitely going to be a lot tighter. The only thing is now, Shells will know exactly what they're coming up against. Like before, it was a little bit of an unknown because you couldn't watch recent games. They'll have got more footage now. They will obviously be a little bit fitter, but this is going to be a tight one. I still fancy Shells over the two legs. I think if you remember the second game at Windsor, halfway through the second half, it looked as if Shells were wobbling. Like there was a real weakness there. It looked as if Linfield was going to go in and get themselves back in there and then go on and win it. So I don't think Shells will be as fragile. And I think resting the players at the weekend was a smart thing to do because this is a massive, massive, massive game for them.
What are you expecting, Vinny?
I think it nailed on the head. I think Linfield definitely improved. A lot fitter, but I think Shells have improved under Joey O'Brien. The only sort of drawback to that was that you were so poor against Pats by the opening sort of 5, 6, 7 minutes. But Kieran McEnroy will come in, Norris will come in, Sam Bone will probably play. He was very good in the last European game. Paddy Barrett will come into the team. So that's huge. They can go and win the tie in the fourth game if they're like flying out of the box. They can win it tomorrow night, if you know what I mean by that. They can really take an unassailable lead. Coot, Harry Wood has been absolutely outstanding for them. Concern would be Meepo needs to finish a couple of chances that's been created for them.
Sean Boyd is fit as well.
Sean Boyd, you wonder whether he'd start him or not. It feels like it's there for him to go and just, it's almost like don't seize the moment. It's probably the error he made in the last game. They probably didn't go and seize the moment when it was there. I spoke about it last week in the pod. Stewie Bourne was exceptional when he was talking about it on off the ball in terms of players have to seize the moment. If they're 1-0 up, if they feel like Linfield aren't at it, they've just got to go run all over them tomorrow night because it's a, I think they can win the tie tomorrow night if they do their business right.
Yeah, because funnily enough, Vinny, there probably is a real benefit to it being Linfield. That I don't want to say they'll have less respect, but they probably have too much respect, and Irish players have too much respect for other nationalities that, funny enough, they look at Linfield and they'll know a lot of the players, and the fact they've played them before should mean that they're going, actually, we're the better team here. We need to go, we can be aggressive, and we can score a few goals.
Yeah, and that's why I referenced Stewie Bourne's comments. I thought they were really good and real understanding of what it takes for players to play in Europe. Mendy will set them up. He'll go through the last few weeks. You'll have a good few video sessions. He would have got stuck into them after the Pats performance. A few people have sort of missed their opportunity to play. But then, remember, if you're playing sort of, I often use the right back as a great example, and Bang is playing against their left winger. He knows he can't go beyond them. Has been able to do that. He knows how quick he is. It's not some guy from Estonia. It's not some guy from the Faroe Islands that he's not sure of. So that's what I say about just come out of blocks flying. obviously have that sort of element of respect, but they'll have that in terms of the way they're set up in their base and their three at the back. But run all over them and do not give them a moment to breathe. And that's sort of what I'd imagine if Joey O'Brien could magic what he wants his players to do in that sort of first 20, 25 minutes, get in a half-time in the lead and on the throat. And that's what the top teams do. And it's a life-changing opportunity for these players. That's what tomorrow night and this tie is, a life-changing opportunity, because no guarantee Shells are going to be in Europe next year, and who knows what happens the year after. So here's the moment, and they're there for the takings.
Duffer was back in the north side. He was spotted at Oasis at the weekend. Still has the jacket. The jacket was actually, it was very hot, but it was appropriate for the occasion, the one he'd been sort of wearing, the trench coat, for the last few weeks. So good to see he's getting out and about, and good to see he's enjoying himself. You know, we get a lot of stick, Vinny, from Gareth. You know, me never leaving Tala, you always rocking up wherever a manager's in trouble. Big nights for Irish teams in Europe, and no sign of your man.
It's not Derry. That's why. No, I'll be going to the return leg. I'll go to the return leg up at Linfield. That's a little bit closer.
He'll be in the Linfield end. He'll be in the Linfield end. Chris Shields will get you the tickets.
With my Derry jersey on.
I see how that goes. There's an interesting social experiment for you. Well, listen, hopefully your mood cheers up. At Derry, you're down at Eamon DC Park on Friday night to take on
Nathan, sorry, go come back United. Real quick.
Go on.
Quick question. How good is Windsor Park? I reckon it's probably the best soccer stadium in the country, as in it feels like it's bigger than, 12,500 or 15,000. It is a brilliant venue when it's a good team playing in a good atmosphere. It is a good venue. They designed it really well.
Definitely the best soccer stadium in the country for its size. And I was mentioning this on air when we were up there for the game that Shells progressed through. So the capacity that night was about 7,500. And as you said, I think it holds 18,000. So you would think it should feel empty. It should feel like there's nobody here. And I'd be interested to see what the capacity is for the away leg. Now they've been given the go-ahead to have it on Thursday night. I know there's a concert on sort of in the vicinity as well. But, you know, Linfield aren't generally drawing a massive crowd. So I don't know if they're going to get much more than that. But it sounded like there was 30,000 people there. Like it holds in the noise, which is, it made it feel a lot bigger than it was. And obviously, next Thursday night is going to be huge in terms of what's at stake for both clubs and the opportunity to qualify for the Conference League. So yeah, it's sort of what, I just don't understand why we don't have two or three of those stadiums. And again, you know, this doesn't go down well, but you know, why not have that stadium, 13,000-14,000 capacity, and Bowes and Shells are both playing in it every second Friday night. Modern, proper facilities, all of that stuff. And obviously Bowes are heading in the right direction with that. But yeah, it's a really great atmospheric stadium. Whatever they've done with the acoustics in it, worked to perfection.
Yeah, and I think that, you know what it is as well? It's not a new stadium. I think the new stadiums, because of the regulations and the health and safety, they're all too far. Even the North Stand at Derry, it's way, way back from the pitch. You cannot build now a new stand. So if by renovating the older stadiums, it's far better, and it keeps that nice sound and people close to the pitch.
So the fixtures are live commentary. Bowes against Cork on News Talk on Friday night. Drogheda against Pats is a massive game for both of those, because Pats really need to find a similar run to what they did at the end of last season if they're to stay in the mix for Europe in the league. Waterford against Sligo. You know, maybe Sligo have their eye on Waterford and potentially keeping in touch there and dragging them into the mix. And Galway United still need to start finding some points. I was down at Eamon DC Park, was it Sunday week ago? Had a couple of pints in the little bar, the Steel Tech shed behind the goal. Beautiful. The rock shore was flowing, so it was. I was saying to you at the time, I've never seen a more physical performance from a League of Ireland side. They literally kicked the living daylights in the best possible way out of Shamrock Rovers. Dylan Watts was warming up in front of me at one stage. I'm like, you don't want to be going out there. This is no place for you. This is, and obviously there's a lot of emotion around that, and I'm sure there will be again on Friday night. So yeah, a difficult one for Derry City heading down to Galway. Shelburne against Shamrock Rovers was due to be on this week, but it's been called off, obviously, because the two teams have much more important matters to think about tomorrow night. And we are going to be at Talca Park, Vinny. Yes. Looking forward to it.
And then on Friday, I'm up in United Park, so a prayer. I mightn't be here next week, so say a prayer for me.
Wow. Okay. We don't care about your TV commitments. You know, at least Gareth is fully committed to us. That is us done for the League of Ireland podcast. And so we've got lots more. You're going to be hearing lots more from us over the coming days. The League of Ireland Pod and Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00, refreshingly alcohol free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. Vinnie Gareth, we'll talk to you next week.
Cheers, man.
The League of Ireland Pod
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol free Rockshore 00. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.